see new faces, welcome. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. And it's lovely to see the regular faces. Roslyn and family, welcome again. I'm not going to talk.
Yeah.
Lord, we just want to thank you. Because you are an amazing God. You are a wonderful God. You are everlasting God. And today we've been reminded of your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, I don't think I will ever forget this. When Blessed Sister in Christ, Queen Elizabeth II, says, indeed, I have seen his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. We have seen your faithfulness. We have stories to tell you. And stories to make up, because our life is still going, we will find and see your faithfulness still in the days to come. Lord, we just want to say how privileged we are to gather here free, free from fear of persecution. And mockery. And I pray that this freedom will increase in this nation.
Amen.
And Lord, we want also to acknowledge our need of you. If it isn't for you and your Holy Spirit, how can we understand what we need to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Please open our spiritual eyes to go beyond the ink and the letter. And our spiritual ears to hear your voice speak. That none of us will leave empty, but spoken to. That each one of us receive what you know ahead of this morning, what we need to hear and receive as a gift. So thank you for being in the midst of us. We praise you, we worship you and adore you. For you are good.
Amen.
And your love endures forever.
Amen.
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 I just want to share my reflection in a few verses in the Bible today. It's the verses. Sorry, it's about me, sorry. And how I read, how I reflect on what I read and I was challenged by. Recently, for a couple of years, I was challenged by reading the book, the Bible, book by book. So previously, I had opened the Bible according to the daily reading. I'm not saying that's wrong, but that would be my daily food and that's it. But it was not coherent and it's not joined together. So I was led to, someone suggested to me, and I always suggest that to others, read the Bible book by book. So currently I'm reading Mark, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And what's good about it is I'm not picking and choosing, because sometimes you read the daily reading, most of the time it's, wow, the Lord knows I read this. And sometimes it's like, what's this about? I don't know. And there is, if it was about me, I would probably pick and choose some books of the Bible I wouldn't read because it doesn't make sense. Some of them I don't think it relates to me. And actually, we are missing out because what we say, oh Lord, you can't teach me through this. I love this. Tell me more about this that I like. And when I'm reading as a book, it's challenging me when sometimes you come to the scripture that are so rich and dense, you cannot stop to breathe and you don't know where to start to take it and receive it all in. If I give you the longest favorite scripture is in Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 10. please check it out. It is boom, 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 not stopping, and I'm thinking, and now I need to understand it. Just reading it is so connected, verses which does not stop because it's one linked to another, and then sometimes you read some scriptures like today and think, what is this all about? The scripture we're going to read, it's short, and it was a challenge for me because it's not something you quote. Most likely we look at it as a historical, factual scripture, and we may sadly overlook how actually it's very important, and I think it seems actually the foundation that the Lord wants to establish in each one of our lives in order to further His kingdom. Mm-hmm. So let us read Mark chapter 3, 13 to 19. While we are doing that, can I just say a big thank you to Tony for taking time and organizing that time for us to reflect on the life and the service of our Queen and for the prayers. Thank you so much, Tony. That was really beautiful. So anyone's happy to read Mark chapter 3, 13 to 19, please.
Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. The two words that jumped at me when I read the scripture and left it, wanting to move on quickly to the other one that it may be more exciting to hear and more comfortable to hear, was discipleship and apostleship. I'm really not qualified about talking about them in a theological way. I'm just sharing my reflection. And it's worth mentioning what is the obvious thing, that discipleship, actually, that word is not in the scripture we read, but it is laced in it, because when Jesus says he called them to himself, they followed, they have become his disciples. And because they are originally, I think, the word disciple, I'm sure you know, most of you know, in Greek originally means a student. And here, and I would say, a dedicated student. And apostle means the sent out. And that is very different than what we make of it, especially in the modern church. So some traditional churches, we ordain apostles. I don't know if you're aware of it. And some traditional, and then some modern churches also ordain or give that title to certain people. But let me take it, as I am a very simple person, let me take it at face value and say, disciple is dedicated student, learner, and apostle is the one who God sends for a purpose. Is that okay with you guys? So apart from Mark 3, which was read to us, in Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1, we read the Lord calling the individuals to follow him first. And he says, come and follow me so that I will make you fishers of men. And indeed, they followed him, and they most likely experienced a bag of different bag, not of emotions, but experiences. So maybe they were perplexed, joyful, hesitant, astonished. They have admiration. They probably felt fear. They also felt and experienced the filling of the wonderful Holy Spirit, the breath of God Himself. So stating the obvious again, that Jesus, calling of Jesus upon their life was not the end purpose, but only the beginning. It was when He called them, it was the beginning of their life of discipleship. While reading in Mark 3, that Tony read today, explains how they became fishers of men. And as we read in 14 and 15, it says, He called them to Himself that they might be with Him, and He might send them out. To do what? To preach and to have authority to drive out demons. That's how they became fishers of men. By teaching them, training them, and sending them with His authority that He has given them. Praise the Lord. Really, praise the Lord for these people, that their names now suddenly became to me so important. Not neglecting, they were ordinary people. Managed to do extraordinary things because of who have called them and who have sent them. Put it simply, if it wasn't for their dedication and obedience, we would not be here today. Because if there was no disciples, there will be no apostles, there will be no church, and we will not be here. So, and it's obvious also for us that discipleship and apostleship are very close knitted together. While we think He's a disciple, He is a prophet, He's an apostle, actually they all stem from Jesus start calling them to Himself first, and He sent them out for different roles according to their gifts, but it starts with Jesus and it's sustained by Jesus. And without Jesus, we have none of these people. So let us humble ourselves before the Lord. So what does the scripture say to us? It's a very short scripture. It doesn't look exciting when I read it first and think, let's move on. And it was something holy when I say, oh, let's move on, because I read every day for now Mark, and sometimes I read 10 or 2 and stop, and I wanted to move on, but I could not, because I was challenged by it. It sounds very simple. He called them to Himself and He sent them back, their names is blah, 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 blah. Finish. Oh my goodness. Do we need to make disciples and apostles today in modern church? Even better question, are we in the making of disciples? Are we ourselves prepared to be disciples and apostles for Him? You would probably laugh at me asking this question. You say, of course, because of the Great Commission. Yeah, it's obvious. The answer is obvious. The Great Commission is extended to us today. And God has not stopped furthering His kingdom. And He will not stop until the return of Jesus Christ. But reading it again and again and again, I was confronted by the disciples and the way they responded to the truth revealed to them, and how they lived, and how committed they were to the Lord Jesus, and how different their commitment was than my commitment to Jesus today. And guess what happened when we are challenged? Any suggestion? What do we do? Well, I find excuses. I try to find good excuses. So I thought, well, our modern life is busy, hectic, fast. It is not as easy as it was in their days. this cannot be further than the truth, that their life and commitment to Jesus was far more challenging, difficult, and costly. And apart from John the Baptist, they were all either executed, beheaded, or put to death in some way. That's my understanding of reading the history of the church. So I'm thinking, I have no excuse. So I thought, right, let me briefly look at the life of the disciples. This is not a, what is the word in English? Conclusive? This is not everything about the life of disciples. Those are things that I found. And I pray that you will go and find more and share it with us. So we're going to look at their life as they followed Jesus while he was alive and after his resurrection. You know what I noticed? I noticed the New Testament, my understanding, please if I'm wrong, correct me, it's not a problem. I noticed one question recorded in the Bible that the disciples asked Jesus. Does anyone know what it is? Disciples asked Jesus to teach them. That's a clue. What is it?
Prayer.
And I was amazed. I'm thinking, among everything they seen and experienced and lived with him, they didn't say, show us how to raise someone from dead to life. Show us how to expand 5 loaves and some fishes and feed 500 people. Teach us, Lord, teach us how to pray. Why? I was wondering why. I think I would say, oh Lord, please show me how to heal people. They said something very insignificant in some way, because it's not hyped up, it's not in the public eye, it's actually very personal. I believe they noticed and seen that tremendous, perfect relationship between the Son and the Father. And they wanted that because somehow, probably they figured this is the foundation. This is where all starts, relationship. And you cannot have a relationship with God I cannot have a relationship with God if I'm not praying and listening. The rest is all formulas, theories, courses, training that can, God forbid, be empty of the breath of God and empty of personal relationship. That's one thing I noticed. Lord, teach us how to pray. So they continually prayed. The other thing I noticed, some of them, when they written letters, which we are privileged to have, what we call the New Testament, is they, especially letters, they quoted the Old Testament. I cannot give you all these examples because it will be during the, we will end up 8 o'clock in the night. What happened is I noticed they quoting the Old Testament, but in the light of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means to me that they are reading, searching, and meditating on the Word, which they had only the Old Testament by then. So they're praying, they're reading the scripture, and most of them were not people with high degree or very educated. They were very ordinary people, just like me and you, if you're not offended by calling you ordinary. So they were started searching, going back to the book that was handed for them through generations and generations. And suddenly they are seeing, not only searching, but now they are recognizing and discovering that the old scripture is all prophetically about the awaited Messiah, and he is in the midst of us, he has risen, and we are his now. And that means they have received the Holy Spirit, because those scriptures were with them. And most of them, they would probably go to synagogues as children, and they were taught, and they listened, and they heard it. But suddenly now, when they're writing these beautiful letters that is recorded and inspired by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, it makes sense to them and they're recognizing who Jesus is. The other thing, it's amazing, I'm talking about difficult life then. They had a heart of serving, servanthood. They served. It wasn't brilliant, I've got this knowledge now, let me sit and someone else serve me. We moan about traveling to our holiday destination. Oh, it was too tiring, the queue was too long. And it was for our benefit to go and enjoy our time. They traveled in a very simple, exhausting, uncomfortable ways just to share the good news with others. And the last one in my list, please go and find more about them because it's inspiring to us. The last one is how they viewed their lives through the eyes of Jesus through eternity. And that's when it was really challenging for me. I'm thinking, oh boy, I am falling so short of just being a disciple for Jesus. They prayed, they read, searched and studied and meditated on the Word. They received the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to see differently than before. The scale has fallen off their spiritual eyes. And they view their life in the light of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere, I don't know if they to quote the scripture for you, Peter is talking about his body as a tent. One day he will fold it, put it aside, the rest of his lives begin. But saying all of that, they did not live their life in separate boxes. This is secular, this is work, this is the religion, this is... All of their life was dedicated to Jesus. So you can tell by now I was feeling very sorry about myself. But then I thought, no, there is good news in this. You know what it is? We have the same Lord and God, Jesus Christ. And we have each other. To encourage each other, to disciple each other, to grow in the knowledge of who God is. They continually dedicate their life to Him. Let us inspire, encourage each other to dedicate our life to Him. Let us humble ourselves to learn from Him. Let us ask Him to stir a desire in our heart to live for Him. And I pray, Lord, that we will realize the privilege of worship that He has given us. And let us teach others to do the same. We need to be discipled continually. This is not something we will graduate from and hang it on the wall. We need to be discipled continually. I think it will be wonderful if, is right with the deacons another time, we sit as a church and ponder upon how can we disciple each other. Because within every fellowship, including here, we will have people in a different place, in a different depth of knowing God and following God and loving God and serving God. So if we do not look after each other, how can we look after each other, those who will send us new into our family? I will end up with this. As a child, personally, I have tasted and eaten from my mother's table in my father's house. And I have learned to cook. later on to feed my family today. But that just be me learning to cook does not stop my need to eat and feed myself. So we all actually standing on the same ground in some way. We all need to be discipled continually. So let us pray. Tell me, is it possible to have that song in the background? Because some people are not comfortable with that sometimes, so very low.
I'll turn it down.
I encourage you to ponder what is the Lord saying through the scripture today. And each one of us will have our own challenge in dedicating ourselves to the Lord and being continually discipled. So let us just spend some time pondering. If anyone later, honestly, or any time, feel you want to pray, please, if you want to pray audibly, pray. We will agree with you. If you want to pray in your heart, it is fine. So let's just spend some time with the Lord. condemnation or conviction by the Holy Spirit. Because you care and you love us so much. So as you're revealing blind spots to each one of us, Lord, thank you that you are able and willing to take us on in this journey to be genuine, committed disciples for you. We praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.